Okay, well, go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to John chapter number 21. You say, well, we were there last week. I guess what, we'll probably be there next week too. So anyway, John chapter number 21, and as I mentioned a moment ago, we're still in our series Refocus. We're drawing near to a close on this. We've only got a few weeks left probably in this series, but our goal and our hope through this series is just to get a clear view of who Jesus is. So many things in this life muddy the waters and give us kind of a blurry vision of Jesus. And so as we have studied this, hopefully it has brought out the heart of Jesus, the love that he has for us, his desire for those who serve him, all these different things that we've seen as we go along, just to lift him up, just to endear him to yourselves, to value him in your lives. And so that's been kind of a goal that we've been pursuing here, trying as feebly as I can to bring these things out. But the Lord's word will not return void. It'll do that which it was set out to accomplish. And so we are trusting in that. But anyway, in the past few weeks, we've been looking at the events between the crucifixion and Jesus' ascension to heaven. There was a lot that took place in those some 40 days there. And the disciples were shaken and the future was uncertain for them. And no one seems to have taken it harder than Peter did. Mm-hmm. And whenever Peter was going through all of this, his performance was less than commendable. And that's one of the reasons why I believe it was so difficult for him. And so with being overwhelmed and feeling like a failure, last week we saw him throw in the towel and basically say, I quit. He said, I go fishing. I'm going back to what's familiar, back to what I know. I quit. And sometimes we are like Peter. Sometimes we feel like quitting. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe we feel inadequate. Maybe we feel whatever it may be. And so what we looked at last week was some of the things surrounding this passage that we can learn from Peter and his bit of backsliding, I guess we could say. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that we saw is the reason for quitting. There's many reasons why people quit. It might be their own failures or inadequacies like Peter. It could be people or circumstances or unmet expectations. You name it. There's all sorts of things that could cause us to consider just walking away. But we know that the reason isn't Jesus, because Jesus isn't going to fail us. Jesus isn't going to let us down. Jesus isn't going to quit on us. And so we can blame all sorts of things for walking away, but it's not because of Jesus. The second thing that we saw in it was the risk of quitting. Our actions extend beyond ourselves. A lot of times it's like dominoes, one after another. And so whenever we quit, it's going to have a domino effect on those around us. Whenever Peter says, I go fishing, several others said, we also go with thee. He took them along. And in quitting, we end up hindering others. So our life affects those around us. And a lot of times, whenever we quit, it's going to be our children. It's going to be our family. It's going to be those who look up to us. It's going to be our neighbors, our friends. Those are going to be the ones that's affected whenever we quit. Right. We need to stick with the stuff. Mm-hmm. We saw the reward of quitting. And I said last week, there is no reward, right?
Right.
But whenever they quit, they went fishing and they caught nothing. Mm-hmm. That was the reward for their quitting. Quitting did not solve Peter's problem. Right. He says, I'm going to go back to what I know. And he says, I can't even do that right anymore. Mm-hmm. And so for us as believers, Jesus is the only one that can fix our problem. And abandoning him is not going to fix it.
Yeah.
And so we might think that the grass is greener on the other side. We might think this is our solution. But whenever you walk away from the Lord, it's not going to make things better. And exactly. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And he meant it.
Right.
We need him for everything. And so with Peter, his problem was Peter, not Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was the only one that was able to fix Peter and the only one that was able to make his life work. And so that was the reward of his quitting. And the last thing that we saw was the return from quitting. Quitting doesn't have to be permanent.
Right.
Jesus doesn't throw us away just because we mess up and fail. Just because we quit and walk away doesn't mean that he is turning his back on us and refusing to allow us to come back. Whenever we walk away, he is standing there with open arms to receive us again. Whenever Peter quit, Jesus went seeking after him. and showed his love for him and restored him. Mm-hmm. And he'll do the same for us. And so wherever you're at with your walk with the Lord, if you're not where you used to be or where you ought to be, don't stay going.
Yeah.
Turn back to him. And so today we're going to be looking at the same passage, but I want to focus on a different aspect or go a little bit of a different direction here with this conversation and focus on a different phrase that we find within it. So let's go ahead and look at John chapter 21. And as I said, we're going to read the same passage we did last week. It'll get familiar to us, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's a good passage. Like I said, it's one of my favorites. So John chapter number 21, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith again unto him, He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Just thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the way that it speaks to us, Lord, for the truth that's contained therein. We thank you for this opportunity to be here in church for those who have come out today. And Lord, for their desire to know you, to hear of you, to learn of you, to grow in you. And Lord, we just pray that you would do the work that's needed in the hearts and lives of each person today. If there's one discouraged, I pray you'd encourage them. If there's one that's struggling, just help them, Lord, to bear that burden. If there's one here today that is kind of in this place that Peter's at, this place of uncertainty, this place of struggle, I just pray that you'd help them with that. And if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today would be the day that they place their faith and their trust in you. I pray now, Lord, that you would just help me as I preach your word, guide and direct me, Lord. I just pray that you'd bring back the things that we have studied, Lord, and help me to be able to speak your word with boldness. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with those who aren't with us today. I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over them. I pray so much for this community, Lord. We want to see souls saved and lives changed. Help us to be a light, I pray. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, we find that years earlier, Jesus had called Peter to leave his boat, to leave his nets and to become a fisher of men. And Peter had followed. He had learned. He had preached. He had done miracles. Right? We look through the book of Acts, or not the book of Acts. We look through the Gospels. We find that Jesus was sending them out to do all these things, and they were participating in the ministry. As a side note, even Judas participated in the ministry, right? Mm-hmm. But now, in the most important moments, Peter struggled. He doubted, he denied, he ran away. And in this time, he's thinking, surely he blew it. That call that the Lord placed upon him years prior could not withstand all of the mess ups that he had had in his life. There's no way that Jesus could still want to use someone like him. And so in this passage that we read, we found that it can't be further from the truth, that Jesus still wanted to use him. He still had a plan for him. And so Jesus sought him out. He walked with him personally, and he restored him and reassured him that there was still a place for him in the work to do. And I said I wanted to focus on a different phrase today, and I want us to look for just a little while on this phrase that Jesus repeated here a couple times to Peter, and he said, "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. That was his way of telling Peter, not literally that he's going to go out and tend to Jesus' flock, to some woolly little sheep out on the hill somewhere, but he is telling Peter, I've got a work for you to do. I've got something that you still are able to accomplish. I'm not throwing you away. I'm not casting you aside. I'm not done with you. I want you to serve me. I want to use you in my work. You have a place in my kingdom. I am not through with you. And so this is his call to service. Once again, it is a reassurance of that call that he had before. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God called him back then. He's still got a plan for him now. And so for us as believers, the Lord has a place for each one of us to serve. He has something for each one of us to do. He didn't save us to sit. He didn't save us just so that we go to heaven. But he has left us here because he has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And he has given us spiritual gifts to use to glorify him and to edify the church, to evangelize the lost. He has given us spiritual gifts and abilities, and it is an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord. Yeah. And whenever I say that, some people get excited about that and say, it is a privilege to serve the Lord, but others aren't quite so sure, mm-hmm. right? Others may be a little bit nervous about that, and usually it's because they're not sure of what serving the Lord involves. Whenever you think of serving the Lord, following after God, you think of people who have left all. You think of Abraham leaving everything in Ur of the Chaldees and going to a foreign land and going about as a tent, as a pilgrim and a stranger. You think about foreign missionaries. You think about all these different things. But we find that all the way through Scripture, there are many people who the Lord used to serve him. There are many people whose lives that he used for the glory of God and for the betterment of mankind. There are so many things that God's people have done down through the ages that doesn't fit into our ideas of, oh no, if I serve the Lord, he's going to call me to do this, right? And so God knows us better than we know us. He knows where we fit. He knows how to best place us into his plan, into his will, into how he is fitting things together. And he knows what we're best suited for. That comes down to faith and trusting him, that he knows what he's doing. And so whenever we talk about serving the Lord, it should be our desire to serve him. It should be our desire to follow after him. It should be our desire to make a difference in this world, to be used of him, to go about bringing folks into the fold, go about edifying one another, go about pleasing the Lord. That should be our goal because, after all, he has saved us. He has made us exceeding great and precious promises, given us reassurances. Heaven's going to be our home one of these days. We'll spend eternity with him. And what better way to use our life down here than preparing for the time that we're going to be with him there? So as we look at all these examples I mentioned a moment ago that we have in Scripture, people who fed his sheep, we find people like Moses, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Moses shepherded the people of Israel. He led a great multitude. I don't want to do that. Right? Yeah. By the way, Moses didn't either. But we find people like Moses. We find Noah. Built an ark, was rejected by all other people. Only him and his family was saved, and they were out on that boat for all that time and repopulated the earth. we find people who serve the Lord. We find people like David. I mean, David led the people of Israel. He was the king. He was the one who was the standard for all of the kings after him. He served the Lord. We find Esther. Esther risked her life, risked her neck, going and standing before a pagan king, violating their statutes, their traditions, to argue for God's people, to intervene for God's people, intercede for God's people. And we lift these people up as being heroes. And then we look at ourselves and say, I'm not an Esther. I'm not a David. I'm not a Noah. I'm not an Abraham. I'm not a Moses. I can't do these things. We see all these bold people who did big things, but we also have people like Rahab. Rahab the harlot, who simply took in the spies, hid them for a little while, and trusted the Lord. We don't find Rahab really doing anything extravagant, but we find her place in history, and she was used mightily of God by doing something simple. We find people like Caleb. Caleb went out, he looked over the land, and he came back and he gave a good report. Mm-hmm. He says, our God is able to give us this land. He just stood for right. We find people like Joshua. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He says, I can't make you follow the Lord. I can't do anything, but I'm going to lead my family. Mm-hmm. That's how he served the Lord. We find Mary, who, whenever the angel came to her and says, we need a womb. We need to borrow a womb. It's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Right?
Yeah.
Are y'all thinking about some of these? We find that Joseph of Arimathea lent Jesus his tomb. Mm-hmm. Mary anointed Jesus' feet and his head with ointment. For his burial.
Right.
I preached a message a while back that she did what she could.
Exactly.
We see that Barnabas was the encourager. He was in the shadow of Paul. He was a first-rate second fiddle. I preached that before. We find Timothy was timid, a little sickly, had several things against him, and Paul was encouraging him all along. He wasn't one of the bright and shining stars. You say, well, he's got a book of the Bible named after him. Yeah, Paul was writing letters to him because he was struggling.
Yeah.
You find Aquila and Priscilla just going about being tent makers, sharing their faith with people around them, encouraging the ones around them, providing a place for Paul, a place for him to work, a place for him to stay.
Yeah.
And there's countless others that I could go through all the way through Scripture who were all extremely different, but served God faithfully in their place.
Right.
The reason I bring all these people out is because there is such a variety in the work of God. There are so many different places that he has, and each one's unique. And we're bad about looking at one another and fitting ourselves according to what other people have done or what other people are doing. But in reality, God has a unique place for each and every one of us to serve. And he is calling to each one of us, will you feed my sheep? Will you serve me in this place? Will you desire to do my will? That's what he's looking at each one of us. He wants us to feed his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you willing to be used of him? Are you willing to be put in a place of service? Are you willing to say, here, my Lord, send me as the prophet did?
Right.
He's looking for people who are willing to serve, people who are willing to pull away from their goals, their dreams, their vision for this life, and saying, God, make me what you want me to be.
Yeah.
Lead me in the direction that you have for me. Use me as you see fit. That doesn't mean quitting your job and abandoning your home and going somewhere else. It means, Lord, whatever you say, here I am.
Yeah.
Here am I, send me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look for ways that we can serve him. Look for ways, as I've brought out a few times already, that we can glorify God, that we can edify the saints, and that we can evangelize the lost. That's what it's about.
Right.
That's what his service is. That's what his work is about. Bringing him glory, encouraging one another, and bringing folks to him.
Right.
And there's so many different ways that we can do that. And there's ways that are suited for the way that he made you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to go back to our passage now, and I want to learn a few things regarding Jesus' statement, to feed my sheep. Okay? I want this to be a little bit instructional, a little bit encouraging for us, and hopefully I will hit the mark on that. Okay? And so the first thing I find about feeding his sheep, he says, feed my sheep, not because I need you. Whenever he's calling to Peter, whenever he is saying, feed my sheep, he's not saying that there's a deficit somewhere, there's a problem somewhere, and Peter, I need you to fix this problem. But instead of saying, I need you, he's saying, I want you, and there's a huge difference there.
Yes, very much.
Whenever Jesus called out to Peter in the passage that we read, he called to him from the shore. He didn't call to him because he was hungry.
Right.
Didn't call to him because he was needing Peter's fish that he was out there catching. Didn't call out to him because he was having trouble getting the fire started.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Peter comes ashore, he finds that Jesus already has fish cooking on the fire.
Yeah.
He didn't need Peter's fish.
Exactly.
Didn't need any of his expertise, right? He already had a fire going. He already had fish cooking. From the beginning, there wasn't a time that Jesus needed Peter. Whenever he walked by the Sea of Galilee the first time and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He wasn't needing Peter at that time.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through, as Jesus was going about through the hills and the valleys and the wildernesses and healing people and preaching and all these different things, he had his disciples following after him. And there wasn't a time that he needed them.
Right.
And that might sound a little bit discouraging, a little depressing to you, but think about this. Peter thought that Jesus needed him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
How many times was it that Peter tried to come to Jesus' rescue? That Peter was assessing the situation, telling Jesus what he needed to do, even rebuking Jesus. Peter comes to the rescue. He says, it's a good thing that I'm here. What would you have done without me? Isn't that his attitude that he took as he followed Jesus? But after his failures surrounding the cross, he was taken down a couple pegs.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus doesn't call us to feed his sheep or to serve him because he needs us.
Yeah.
As I said, it's because he wants us.
Right.
There's a huge difference whenever someone needs you or when they want you.
Mm-hmm.
You ever have friends that just need you? You don't hear from them unless they need something.
Yeah.
As soon as you see their name on the caller ID, it's like, what do they need now?
Yeah.
But there are some friends that just want you.
Right.
They enjoy you.
Yeah.
They include you. There's a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus doesn't need us. He wants to include us.
Mm-hmm.
In what he's doing. He has chosen to do that. And it amazes me. The one who can speak the universe into existence, that knows all of the stars by name, knows me,
yeah.
And says, I've got somewhere I can fit you into my plan.
Right.
I've got something that I can do with you.
Yeah.
And he didn't need me. You realize that he has all of the angels of heaven. If he needed a messenger, he's got them. Ones that are far better equipped than what we are. If he wants to evangelize the world, he could have done it through the angels.
Mm-hmm.
We find in one place that if we remain silent, the rocks will cry out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that he could use the rocks if he wanted to?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the news report on that? All of a sudden, the rocks are crying out. You got Mount Rushmore over in the United States, and all of a sudden the presidents start talking and preaching the gospel. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? The Lord could do that. He's got a myriad of possibilities that he could use, different avenues that he could go through, all of these different things, but he chooses to use us.
Right.
That's incredible. That he would fit us into his plan. And so he doesn't need us, but he wants to include us. And so that kind of gets away of the idea of pride whenever we come in and think that somehow we're going to save the day. We're going to be God's favor to humanity.
Yeah.
He doesn't need us,
right.
But he does want us.
Right.
Second thing that we find in this is that he calls us to feed the sheep, not because we're great. Not because we're great. And this is something that we've went over quite a bit with all this with Peter. Peter blew it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over again. Whenever the Lord was looking for disciples, he didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the palace. He went down and he got fishermen, tax collectors, outcasts, ne'er-do-wells, right? That's who he went and he got. He didn't seek the cream of the crop. He didn't seek those who was great. Have you ever been around someone who thought they were God's gift to mankind? Those ones who just think that you are lucky to know them and God's lucky to have them. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes you sick, doesn't it? Does God too.
Yeah.
There are people in this world that seem incredibly gifted and talented. Even amongst the lost, there are people that, oh, if they would just get saved, look at how God could use them because of their talents, their giftings, their abilities. What a voice they have. If the Lord would save them, could you imagine what a testimony they would have and how many people they would lead to him? That's not the kind of people the Lord's looking for.
Right?
We look all throughout Scripture, and God is using the outcasts and the ones that we wouldn't be even considering. Those are the ones he's looking for.
Yeah.
Even if we look for Moses. Moses thought that he was a big deal, right? You remember he was raised up in the palace. He was taught the greatest things from Egypt. He had received this great education. He had been in the throne, or on the throne, on the line to the throne, all these things. And at 40 years old, he goes out, he sees one of the Hebrews being abused, and he says, I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to save the day. I'm just the guy they need. Slays the Egyptian, hides him in the sand, finds out that it didn't go the way he thought that it would, and he runs away.
Yeah.
He hides on the backside of the desert for another 40 years, and he learns how to become a shepherd and how to feed the sheep. And then the Lord appears to him in a burning bush. And he says, Moses, I've got a job for you. Now I can use you. And what was Moses' mindset then? What was his attitude then? I can't do it. I can't even speak well. Big difference from 40 years earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God says, I've got you to the place now I can use you.
Okay.
It wasn't 40 years ago whenever you were lifted up in pride and thought you were something. It is now that you have learned how to feed the sheep. Now I can use you.
Yeah.
It's not because of how great we are, not because of how good we are. There are plenty of Christians out there who have natural abilities, who draw crowds. There's mega church pastors, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are these people who are superstar preachers everybody knows. You think about what great works they're doing for God, and a lot of them are doing it in the power of their flesh.
Right.
Not all of them. I'm not saying just because they're well-known or have a large influence that they're not of God. But I will say that they've got a huge target if they are. Because they'll be lifted up in pride, and whenever they get put too high up, they are subject to falling. Because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Things that are small to confound the things that are big. Right? And so if those guys think that they are something, if they think, boy, God is really working, boy, God's really doing something, look at how good they are. It's not because of how good they are. Not because of what they can do. As I said, he's not looking for the best. He's not looking for the most talented. He's not looking for the most charismatic. He's looking for someone who's humble enough to feed the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Peter had learned the hard way that he wasn't great. There were several times he'd engaged in arguments with the other disciples. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? I have a feeling he wasn't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much bragging going on after the cross. I don't think he was coming out saying, hey, I'm one of the favorites. He knew better. He realized I'm not that great. And so he is not calling us because we're great. He's not needing us because we are great. We find that whenever he needed a mother to be born of, we talked of Mary earlier, he chose a poor woman from a despised town. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Right? When he chose disciples, he chose the ones no one else would have chosen. When he fed the multitude, he used the lunch of a little boy. Right? And whenever he is looking for someone to feed his sheep, whenever he's looking for someone to serve him, he's looking for someone like me and you.
Right.
We don't have a whole lot to claim. We can't say, hey, look at what a great orator I am. Look at all my knowledge of Scripture. Look at all the influence that I have. Look at all my natural abilities. He's looking for someone. He's willing to feed his sheep.
Yeah.
God has a habit of choosing the small, the insignificant, and the despised, and the outcasts. You don't have to be something to serve the Lord, because the Lord is something.
Exactly right.
The third thing that we find about this, he calls us to feed his sheep, not because we love the sheep. It can't be about the sheep. You realize that? If you are serving God because of people, it won't last.
Right.
If you're only serving God to please people, it won't last. Mm-hmm. If you are in this because of what your parents think or what your friends think or because of what I think, if you are setting out even in Christian service to please other people, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about others. Whenever Jesus is dealing with Peter here, he's not telling him to look at the sheep. He's not telling him to look at all these things. He is calling him to look at the shepherd.
Yeah.
And if we are doing this for people, we're going to be sadly disappointed. If you're serving the Lord because I just love people, people aren't always lovable.
Right.
You realize that?
Yeah.
Jesus was the picture of the perfect servant. He is the good shepherd, right?
Yeah.
And if we're to feed the sheep, then he is our example. And he is a clear example of the fact that sheep aren't always lovable. He was crucified by them.
Right.
Anyone who's ever dealt with farm animals know that they can be a pain in the rear end.
Yeah.
I have dealt with farm animals. I have raised pigs and all these things. And you know what? A lot of times I was glad when it was time to butcher them. Because they were not lovable.
Right.
Those pigs, I nicknamed them. We had pork chop and we had bacon and we had sausage. I wasn't going to name them normal names because those things were going off to be slaughtered. Because guess what? I was not raising those pigs and taking care of those pigs because I love those pigs.
Right.
No. And the same thing goes with the Lord's sheep. Lord's sheep aren't always lovable.
Yeah.
The Lord's sheep will do you wrong. They will quit on you. They will turn away from you. They will mistreat you. They will abuse you. And if you are serving the Lord because of the sheep, you're not going to stick with it. If you make it about people, it's not going to work. You're going to be done wrong. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be abused. And if you are in this with your eyes on the sheep, if you're in this with your eyes on the people, you will quit.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are people. People are sinners.
Right.
Sheep are wretched animals. You ever spend any time around sheep? They will do you dirty and they do smell. I watched a video the other day, a guy taking care of the sheep, and as soon as he turned his back, he bent over and the thing just hit him right in the backside. The guy went flying like, that thing was a jerk.
Yeah.
Sometimes sheep are jerks. They are. Serving the Lord means serving people. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, Jesus said, "In as much as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me."
Mm-hmm.
He says, whenever you are serving other people, you're serving me. So serving the Lord involves serving people, but if you are doing it because of the people, you're going to have a problem. It's going to get old fast. The people aren't going to appreciate your efforts. You know, you set out teaching a Sunday school class or being in creche and say, "Oh, I just love the kids." Until they're heathens. And then you're going to quit because I'm not putting up with those kids. I want to go out and witness to people because they're just going to love to hear about Jesus. You've never done that before, have you? People don't want to hear about him. And if you're going out for the people, you're not going to do it. I want to go and volunteer here. I want to do that because I just want to be a blessing to these people. In our home church back in the States, we had an outreach where we gave away food and clothing and different things. And people would come and volunteer. And they would get extremely discouraged because of the entitlement that people had whenever they came. You're giving away food and clothing to the needy, and then they're coming up and complaining about it.
Yeah.
They pull up in nicer vehicles than what you're driving, and they say, "Oh, I'm in need." We do Christmas outreaches, and we would give away Christmas dinners and Christmas presents for kids, and people would come in with entitlement, and they would nitpick, and they would be complaining, and it's just like, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Because sheep aren't always lovable. We don't serve the Lord because of the people. We don't feed the sheep because of the sheep. We're not doing this because of anyone. If you are serving the Lord because of anybody, you're not doing it for the right reason. Exactly. If you're doing it to please anybody or to be accepted by anybody or any of these things, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Even whenever it comes to our family, you know how we serve our family, how we treat our family, how we take care of our family is serving the Lord. Y'all realize that?
Yeah.
But if you're doing it for your family, there's going to be some days that it's really hard to serve your family. There are some days that that spouse, you don't want to feed that sheep. There are some days those kids, you... I'm being careful because I've got family here, but I'm just saying in reality, with the way that families are, if you are serving your family because you love your family, there are going to be days that you don't feel like serving your family. And a lot of people walk away from their families. Y'all realize that? It's not about our families. We're not serving the Lord and feeding the sheep because we love the sheep. If you're serving Jesus to please me, please your parents, please your spouse, please anyone but Him, you're not doing it for the right reason. You can't feed His sheep. You can't serve the Lord for others. So we come to our final thing here. I've kind of got ahead of myself. We'll get back to our final thing in just a minute. Looking at Paul as an example, Paul did a good job feeding the sheep. Paul was a great example, right? He's a hero of the faith. He's one that most of us are never going to measure up to, right? Just being real about it. But how did Paul fare in dealing with the sheep? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 15, Paul said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." That sounds good, right? He's like, "I'm willing to give my life for the sheep. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." That's rough. He's like, "I'm giving my entire life for you and I'm getting nothing back." It can't be about the sheep. They will quit. They will fail you. They'll walk away. They will. It's not about the sheep. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. I believe Paul wrote this with tears in his eyes. He says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He says, "I've walked with him. I've served with him. He has been an encouragement to me. And he is..." If he had his eyes on Demas, if he was dependent on Demas, if he was serving for Demas, he would have went with him. It's not about Demas. It's not about all those others. It's about Jesus. Paul didn't serve because he loved the sheep. He served because he loved the shepherd. And so that brings us to our final point. Feed the sheep because you love me. This is something that has stuck out to me for so long. I love this passage. Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" He starts out, he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And there's been speculation over what these are. But the point of all of this, he says, "Do you love me?" He says, "You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." He didn't put any other thing. My sheep. Anyway, he didn't put any other requirement on that. He didn't say, "If you want to feed my sheep, you've got to meet all these qualifications." He says, "Before you feed my sheep, there's one qualification. Do you love me?" If our service is motivated out of anything else besides love for our Savior, we've missed the mark. But if we love him, he's got something for us to do.
Right.
If we love him, we can feed his sheep.
Yeah.
And so as we see this, Peter, all throughout the time that he was a disciple of Christ, he proclaimed his love for Jesus. He showed his devotion to Jesus. He says, "I'm willing to go with you to death." But whenever his actions didn't back that up, he felt like he was disqualified.
Yeah.
He says, I failed you. I've messed up. There's no way that you can still use me. And Jesus brings him back and he says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. Mm-hmm. And he says, I still got a place for you.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. So as we consider this today, I'll say what I began with. He has something for all of us to do.
Yeah.
Do you love him? If you do, feed your sheep. Give your life in service. Allow him to use you. Say, God, whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my family up, teach them about you, glorify you. I'm going to honor you in my house. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to live before these people as a testimony to you. I'm going to live in my community in a way that brings you honor and glory. I'm going to serve my church family in a way that uplifts them, encourages them. I'm going to do these things for your glory because I love you. Mm-hmm. I want my life to glorify you. I want my life to bring you glory because I love you. I've said this in the past, but love is the greatest motivator.
Yeah.
And it's the only motivator in the Christian life. Whenever we even talk about families, as I'm taking care of my family, as I'm taking care of my wife, I need to do that out of love. I need to serve her out of love, because if I'm doing it out of necessity,
mm-hmm.
out of expectation, out of debt, anything else, I need to do it out of love.
Right.
Same thing comes with our relationship with God. Do you love him? Then we serve him. There's a word of warning we have in Revelation chapter number 2. The church of Ephesus was doing great acts of service. They had great works. They were teaching, they were preaching, they were evangelizing, they were doing great things. But the Lord says, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all the right things, you're doing it all for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
We could turn this around and say, if you don't love him, don't serve him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your heart right with him first.
Right.
So that brings me to the last thing that I want to say, I think. As we consider this whole thing, do you love him? Feed his sheep. If you're here today and you're thinking, I want to serve the Lord, I want him to use me, I want my life to count for him, you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. All you have to say then is, what wilt thou have me to do?
Yeah.
Guide me, direct me, use me, whatever you want, Lord, I'm here. And keep up that love. But here's the thing, if you don't want to serve him, if you say, that doesn't sound good to me, that doesn't sound attractive to me, I don't want that, well, it's time to do some checking, because your heart's not right with him. Either you're not his or you're far away from him.
Yeah.
But if serving him does not sound attractive to you, there's a problem.
Right.
Because what better thing can you give your life for than to glorify the God that created you, that loved you and died for you? Why don't you love him? Why don't you want to serve him? Right? It's a question we need to be asking. And if you are serving, but you're serving for the wrong reasons. You say, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm going to church, I'm doing all these things, but it's become a drudgery, I'm doing it for people, I'm doing it for all these other things. If the love is going out of there, we need to go back to our first love.
Yeah.
We need to prioritize. We need to do all things out of love for him. You can preach the greatest message in the world to the entire world and see thousands of people saved, but if you do not have love for Christ as the root behind that, you're not doing it for the right reason. It doesn't matter what you accomplish if love is not your motivation.
Yeah.
He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to that idea of love. We need to do this because we love him. And the funny thing about this is that if this comes out of love, if we love him and we serve him out of love, guess what? We're going to find it easier to love the sheep.
Yeah, you're right.
This goes backward in this. If we love him, the sheep become more lovable.
Yeah.
If we love him, It's not about how great we are, but he's able to do great things through us. And we look back and say, I have no clue how in the world I was able to do those things, but by the grace of God.
Yeah.
If we love him, he can make us great.
Right.
And if we love him, we're going to see that he never needed us, but we needed him so badly.
Yeah.
Because as I said before, there's nothing that we can do without him. It puts everything else in perspective when we love him first.
Mm-hmm.
Our pursuits are right. Our actions are right. Our goals are right. And his grace is sufficient for whatever he has for us to do.
Yes.
Do you love him? Feed his sheep. Let's go, Lord, and pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you for this passage that we have before us, Lord, for this challenge that we have, Lord. We motivate ourselves by so many different things. We get our focus on people, on events, on outcomes, and on so many different things in this life, Lord. And we get our focus off of you. Help us, Lord, to put our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, to serve because we love you. Help us, Lord, to love you because of who you are and how great you are, Lord. And Lord, just help us to get those things in order, Lord. If there's anyone here today, Lord, I just pray that has been following and serving for the wrong reasons, Lord, help them to return to their first love, Lord. If there's someone here today that's been hesitant, Lord, to serve, maybe holding back because of who they are, about their abilities or something like this, Lord, just help them to know here today that it's their love for you is all they need, Lord, and you can use that. And Lord, just anyone struggling, anyone who, Lord, just don't really know what to do from here, I just pray that you would just work in their hearts and their lives, help them get their eyes and their attention on you, help them get their heart where it needs to be. And if there's one here today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that even today they would call upon you and put their faith and trust in you before it's everlasting too late, Lord. Lord, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you for all these things, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just continue following you, serving you till we see you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.